So we're going to talk about sanctification today, the believer's transformation. And we're going to look at three groups of scriptures, but we're not going to go in depth in them. And we're just going to read them nice and slow so they sink into your soul. We've all read these before, I'm sure. But it's something that we need to be reminded of. And we've been kind of discussing this at our men's study these last few weeks. Steve wanted us to all give a little short testimony of our lives before Jesus. And then the next week, we all gave our testimony of the day we gave our, the moment we gave our life to Christ. And then the following week, he said, okay, now what are you doing for Jesus? What's your plan now that you're saved? So in other words, now being saved, how are we living out our faith in Christ? And according to the Bible, the action of living out your faith in Christ is called sanctification. To become holy for him. Now that's the hard part. Because he says, because I'm holy, you need to be holy. It's the process by which the Lord continues to transform us into the image of his Son by the power of the Holy Spirit, who resides in us. Now, we all know this, but to really meditate on that for a minute is really powerful. We're being conformed into the image of that amazing love that we just sang a few songs ago. Love so amazing. You're not here on this earth to live as you please, but to bring glory and honor to him. Amen. He has set you apart to live for him. Your life is no longer yours. It belongs to him. In general, our lives are full of before and after issues, from the smallest to the greatest, as in families, before and after marriage. Right, guys? We've never been the same. Neither has our wives. With children, all of a sudden you start having kids. And man, your life is never the same anymore. Relational issues, schools, your schooling, before and after graduation, jobs, changing jobs, illnesses, yeah, and even death. Before and after death, you lose a loved one. It's hard. But the list goes on and on. As a nation, two things that came to mind was before and after 9/11. Oh, how that changed everything, didn't it? How we travel, and we really know who our enemy is now. They're not hiding anymore. And then COVID-19, the residual effect still hovers over us. Both these events not only affected us as a nation, but worldwide. The entire world was affected by this. And I believe now, that as a believer, this is the greatest transformation, is the before and after Christ, the moment you receive salvation in Jesus Christ and eternal life with him. And according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, if you're still alive when Jesus returns for his church, you'll get to experience the rapture. Amen. Like that. It'll just be a real quick experience, but I think about that. Because in John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, Jesus said, I'm going to go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. And I'm coming back to get you, he says. That where I am, there you may be also. This is one of the greatest before and afters we'll ever see, except for our salvation, the moment we gave our life to Jesus. That was the greatest transformation. But before we get to our new life in Jesus and we discuss this sanctification process, I want to look at to see how it all started. We want to go back to creation. Now, you don't have to turn to these. I'm just going to read these for the sake of time. The before and after. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. The earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then according to the scriptures, as you read the book of Genesis, God started to begin creating everything, right? We're going to skip all his creation because I want to get to man. I want to get to us. And then in the same chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. End of conversation. Right? I don't want to get into what's going on today. No, I'm not going to. But you know what I'm saying. Male and female, he created, right? So that's a done deal. Just like climate change. He's in control of the climate. Hello, everybody. The wind and the waves obey him. The sun and the moon and the stars obey him. Then he jumped to chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. In verse 18, the Lord said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And then verses 21 through 23, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, right? Fallen Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in his place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. Before he fell asleep, Adam was a bachelor. And after he wakes up, he's married. I mean, he was probably looking around at all God's creation. Well, this is really cool. I'm sure he didn't think, where's my female in this story? Until he woke up, and here was this woman standing before him. And I like that God brought her to him. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I'm sure he said, what, huh? You know, what's this? Well, this is a woman. This is your mate. Well, the same thing happens in every marriage, right? Right, guys? The before and after for Irene and I was on March 24th, 1972. We were both still single. The next day, March 25th, we were now married. And if you haven't already figured it out yet, yesterday was our 51st wedding anniversary. Can I get an amen? Yes. She's put up with me far too long.
And you're
both I'm still alive. And we were together 5 years before that, so it's like 6 years. I love it, though. I praise God. I don't deserve her. Not at all. Not even come close. Then we're going to jump to Genesis 3, which we all know what happened there. We have Adam and Eve's sin, the temptation and the fall of mankind, their disobedience to God, and what took place. Talk about a before and after. This would have an effect on all mankind and on all of God's creation. Romans 5:12 says that when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone. Everyone is born a sinner. For everyone sinned. I think of that little baby crying right now. When you hold a child, as we did ours when they were little babies, you're a sinner. Isn't that hard when you think about that? This little baby hasn't done anything, right? Innocent. You're a sinner. It's unfortunate, but that's what happened. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone. This is verses 18 and 19 in Romans 5. But Christ One act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and a new life for everyone.
Hallelujah.
Because one person, Adam, disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because of the other person, Jesus, obeyed God, many will be made righteous. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. In John 14:6, Jesus said to him, that is Thomas, he's talking to Thomas, because he said, how do we know the way, Lord? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. End of conversation. I am the way. So now this brings us to our salvation in Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Thank God he had a plan of salvation for you and I. He could have just started all over. God knows where we'd be right now. I don't know. But at the minute Adam and Eve sinned, God had a plan, didn't he? He brought his Son into the world to die a gruesome death for you and I. A body that was broken. Blood that was shed for you and I. Our salvation in Jesus, our Savior, Lord, and Lord. And it just doesn't end with being saved, and this is what we want to talk about today. It's really the beginning of your new life as a believer. My new life as a believer. And we all know this, but I want this to hit home for you today because it really spoke volumes to me as I studied this process of sanctification. Because we tend to forget, right? We go about our day, we go about our weeks, our months, our years. And people, I want to say something. You are being made holy right now. Don't fight it. You know, and that's the hardest part as a human being to think, there's no way I can be like Christ. Yeah, I can't, but see, it's the Holy Spirit working in me. It's God saying, I'm going to start now, form you into the image of my Son. Now that you believe in him and we live inside you, because it says in John chapter 14, verse 23, that Jesus said, hey, the Father and I will make our home with you. We're not going to leave you by yourself. Can you imagine being by ourselves in this world? And we're going to read that today, the Holy Spirit being inside of us. Charles Stanley says our salvation includes three parts: justification, sanctification, and glorification. And we're going to look at those real quick here. And if you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at the first 11 verses. Before we read these verses together, I want you to understand this is a package deal. Those who are being justified, that's you and I, are being sanctified, that's you and I, and will be glorified, that's you and I. This is a past, present, and future timeline. And it explains this process in two verses in Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. That means you're saved, right? That's our justification. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We're to follow Christ now. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. I mean, the fact that we're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven glorified is beyond my comprehension for anything.
Amen.
So now, As we read these verses, 2 Peter chapter 1, the first 11 verses. The first one's about our justification. And that means to render just or innocent, just as if you'd never sinned, or just as if I had never sinned. He says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith. There you go. Talking about our faith. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So here we have our justification. That's the day, the moment you gave your life to Jesus. Your sins were forgiven. And you were filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. This is now past. And we are filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. There's a promise that goes with being filled with the Spirit. And we're going to see that as we read other verses. Now verses 2 through 10, it talks about our sanctification. And sanctification is to make holy or to become holy. You're set apart for God's will and purposes. And let's read these. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I know we've all, just before I get, we keep reading these, we've read these, many of us have read these verses a lot, but I want this to really sink in your soul as you read these. Verse 3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God leaves nothing out. He gives everything to us that we need. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly and great precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Hallelujah. You have a divine nature. I have a divine nature because God gave it to us. This is what God has worked in you. And we're going to get to that pretty soon. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, we're going to escape this world. We don't belong here. Every day goes by, you realize this is not our place. This is not our residence anymore. Amen. It's in heaven. Verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your what? Your faith. Now that you're justified, right? This is your sanctification. This is the process by how you live now. Add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. These things do belong to you. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's what God's trying to show you today. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Have you forgot? I hope you haven't forgot that. I thank God every day that I've been forgiven from my past. Because it was a mess. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to what? To make your call and your election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Never stumble. Make your call and election sure. These verses 2 through 10, here we have our sanctification. It's the ongoing process of your new life in Christ. Now that you're saved, how are you representing the Lord? Is your life bearing fruit that now that you have this new spiritual DNA? Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. We'll get back to these two verses in just a minute. And remember, during this time of our life, this phase in our lives right now, as we're sitting here, as we get up every day and go about our business, Scripture tells us, and again, I'm going to remind you again and again, God is now conforming us into the image of his Son. Whether you like it or not, this is what's happening to us. Sometimes we forget that because I can't be that holy, God. Well, he doesn't expect us to be like Jesus. We will never be like, I mean, you're talking about being like God. We're never going to be that pure and holy, right? But it's the process of making you become holy. It's a process of doing the right things, being righteous, and being conformed into what the image of Jesus. Because we are his ambassadors, right? It says in the Scriptures. We're to represent him. When you look into a mirror, you see you or do you see Jesus? When other people look at you, do they see Jesus or you? So your lifestyle says everything, guys. The way you live and how you act and what you say says everything to someone else on the outside. But this is what's happening. God is now conforming us into the image of his Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. This is now the present time. That's why we are to work out what God has worked in us. That is what our salvation now. For his, why? Because it's for his will and good pleasure. And verse 11, it's talking about our glorification. This means to render or esteem glorious, full of glory, honor, or magnify. I love this. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Here we have our glorification, which is the completion, of this process of sanctification. When we're made perfectly sinless at the resurrection. That's how we're going to be presented to God. Jesus is going to present us to our Father, our God in heaven, sinless. This is still the future. We're not there yet. We're really actually still engaged to our Savior. We haven't married him yet. That doesn't happen until Revelation chapter 19, where it says, his wife has made herself ready for the wedding. But the guarantee is the Holy Spirit. We're not going to get to the wedding and he's going to go, I don't want to marry you. How many movies have you seen where one of them leaves the wedding ceremony? Or, you know, you hear those stories. Jesus is not going to do that. He's waiting for us. And we are going to get married to him. We just got to wait a few more years. That's the interesting thing. It's at the end of the 7-year tribulation. Was it Revelation 19 verses, don't quote me. I think it's maybe 7, 8, and 9, right in there. You can read them for yourself. But anyway, praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine making requests for you all, with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We are going to be complete one of these days. Fully complete. Because he's going to finish the work. Whether we like it or not, he's going to finish the work in our lives. Now, concerning this process of sanctification, again, Paul says in Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, key word here, obeyed. Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Can I get a why? This is, I'm doing a Pastor Stevie now. Because in verse 13 answers it. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Verse 12 gets quoted quite a bit. And I've done it, I've quoted it just separately at times, but I'll never do it again after studying this. You've got to quote 13 with 12. Why do you got to work out, why do we have to work out this salvation, what God has worked in us? Because this is what he's told us to do that. For verse 13 is key. For it is God who works in you, both to will, that's his will for our lives, and to do for his good pleasure. In this context, the Greek word for fear means reverence or respect. The word trembling, this was a tough one, but I narrowed it down and this is what I came up with. The word trembling strengthens the word fear. It's not like, oh, I can't do this. It's not like that kind of trembling. It's kind of a joyful trembling. You know, you're to respect God or revere him, but do it with trembling, like excitement. So it's not like I'm afraid trembling. I don't want you to misunderstand that. So the word trembling strengthens the word fear. It's a holy fear of God that trembles at living out your salvation. Paul uses the same word in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 15, where he refers to the church, encouraging Titus by saying, how with fear and trembling you received him. That is, with great humility and respect for his position as a minister of the gospel. Same context. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, what does it mean? First, it doesn't mean that you have to work for your salvation, or you'll lose your salvation if you don't do some type of work. That's a misunderstanding. And you know, I think it's been explained enough here at this church and in Bible studies to know that's not what it means. But what it does mean is now that you're saved by grace through faith, take what God has given you and work it out in your life. That's all it means. Live out your faith and work it to its full completion. I'll tell you why, because God's completing you. So he's asked us to work this out in our own to full completion. For it is God who works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. As you have always obeyed, remember it's going to take obedience to work out what God has worked in. And in verse 8 of that same chapter, chapter 2, verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And you think, this is God. How could he learn obedience by the way of the cross? Because this was his human side. Fully God, fully man, right? Jesus needed to be obedient just like you and I do. When you read the narrative in the garden and he wept and cried as it were great drops of blood, Lord, is there any other way? He knew there wasn't any other way, but just like us, we'd ask, right? I know you can do this a different way, God, but do I have to go through this? Yeah, you do. But he knew it. But this was his human side. That's why we love Jesus, because we can relate to him. And I can't wait to meet him. I don't know about you. God, I can't wait to meet him. I might even take cuts, you know, in line. I won't have to do that, I'm sure. And hug him and thank him and wow. Jesus, by obedience, had worked out what God had worked in him. I want you to understand that. That is our salvation. Jesus, by obedience, had worked out what God had worked in him. That is our salvation. Even to the point of death, the death of the cross. And now as believers, it's our turn to work out what has been worked in us, right? That is our salvation and our new life in Christ. But what has God worked in you and me? Well, we just read those scriptures in what? 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Well, now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to read some more. Ephesians chapter 1, first 14 verses. And as we read these, I want you to think that this is what God has given to us, his children. This is what God has given to his children. What he has worked in you and I. And by some Bible scholars and headings of certain scriptures, you know, you have a Bible and it says, this is what we think it says. Well, we know what it says because it does say it in here. The riches of God's grace. So what he has worked in us is the riches of his grace in these verses. And I love Ephesians because it tells us how to, it talks all about our sanctification, that whole book. And there's tons of other scriptures that we could go to, but we don't have time. But here we go. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and here at Horizon North Park Christian Fellowship, and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. God has brought everything in perspective since the garden in him, right? He's brought everything all together, and it all represents Christ. It all points to him. And now that we have been adopted into this family, predestined, that's another. Wrap your arms, and I mean your spiritual mind about that, around that. Your spiritual arms around that. That we were predestined. We were called. He said, I chose you. You didn't choose me. Well, I did. You gave me the faith to believe. Yeah. By grace through faith. It's a gift. He's given to us. Where am I? Verse 11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. A lot of God's will being exposed here, huh? Explained in these verses. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. Say that, a guarantee of our inheritance. We're not going to get to the wedding and Jesus goes, you know, I changed my mind. I don't want to marry you, like I said earlier. No, the Holy Spirit of promise guarantees that we have this inheritance with him and that we are going to marry him eventually. We are considered the bride of Christ because we know what the future says. He is going to marry us. We are his bride. I love it. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the what? The redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. See, it hasn't happened yet. This is still future, but this is where we're going to end up. But the Holy Spirit of promise is our guarantee. It's the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. All praise and glory to him. So now that we're saved, right? For the sake of time, I mean, Ephesians goes on and on and on about this. And I'm going to share it with you just briefly, how to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, how to walk, how to use your spiritual gifts to live as Christians. Ephesians goes on to say how to walk worthy of the calling in which you were called. To walk in unity, to walk in love, to walk in the light, to walk in wisdom, redeeming the time because of the days are evil. Hey, Paul wrote this back then. Wow, because the days are evil back in Paul's time? Look at us now. Wow. And it tells us how to walk in our marriage, in our marriages, how to relate in our marriages, and with our family, our children, as well as employees and employers. And Ephesians ends with the icing on the cake, how to walk concerning spiritual warfare, which I've had it all week long. Praise God, because I know God's got me. I know God's holding me up. As sick as I've been, I've made it through this because God says, you're going to do this. And I called you to this, so don't worry about it. Because a couple days ago, I didn't know I'd be up at this, make it up to this pulpit or not. But God is faithful. But he tells us how to walk concerning our spiritual warfare. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We don't turn around and run. We stand against that by the blood of Christ. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, without getting into this, but I taught this before, put on the whole spiritual armor of God, that is Jesus. When you look at every piece of that armor that's mentioned in chapter 6, it all points to Christ. Do that study for yourself. It also tells us in the scriptures to put on Christ every day. Dress like this. Righteousness and truth and the word of God and so on. Peace. It all points to Christ. The Bible has far more scriptures that would explain to what God has worked in you and I. But for the sake of time, we can't explore them all now. So I encourage you. I'll say it again. So I encourage you. Don't walk away from here and go, I don't know. No, I encourage you, as you read the Bible and read it, consider the words where God has worked in you something. The Bible's full of scriptures where God has given us this and given us that. We just scratched the surface today. But I encourage you, as you read the Bible, consider the words where God has worked in you, the riches of his grace. Because that's how we're through, it's only by God's grace that we're all just still sitting here right now. And then work them out for his glory. And as a witness to others, with an offer of thanksgiving to him. When you read these verses that he's given to you and he's worked in you concerning your salvation, eternal life, thank him. Don't ever go a day without thanking Jesus for what he's done for you. Thanking God for what he's done for you. Thanking the Father and the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit has given to you. Spurgeon says, grace all sufficient dwells in you, believer. There is a living well within you springing up. Use the bucket, he says. Then keep on drawing. You will never exhaust it. There is a living source within. Grace all sufficient dwells in you. So now that we know how to live our lives So now that we know how our lives were before Jesus, and now after we gave our lives to him, we realize that we just can't sit back and relax and do nothing. We need to live out. We need to work out our new lifestyle according to God's will and purpose that he has for all of us individually and corporately as a church. I'll say this as a church. Because we're one group, we're one family, made up of different individuals with different gifts. But, you know, as a church, we all need to be in unity, right? This process called sanctification is something that will last until we're called home to heaven. This is where we live right now. Mueller says, the believer must finish, must carry to conclusion, must apply to its fullest consequences what is already given by God in principle. He must work out what God in his grace has worked in. Do you love that? We need to finish well. We need to finish well. This is not the time to get complacent or get complacent or give up or just ho-hum. No, we need to finish well. Run the race till it's over. Is there any more that needs to be said? Just in some of the few scriptures we read today? No. But the question is whether you're submitted and committed to working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That is God's process of sanctification that he has worked in you. Are you going to submit to this and be committed to live out your life for him? I'm going to leave you with this. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. We all know this, right? How many times have we read this scripture? A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand and gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. See, others need to hear the truth. They need to see the gospel lived out by you and by myself, by all of us. I pray we do not hide the truth from those who don't believe in Jesus, but rather be bold in sharing the hope within us. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Last words, don't hide your light. Let's pray.